for now than sit here and watch me as the wrestling gods must hate me.
We are back on SmackDown. It's the debut of The Miz.
Jerry Briscoe is rolling over in his grave, and Jerry's not even dead.
The following contest is scheduled for one ball, making his way to the ring from Cleveland, Ohio, weighing in at 231 pounds, The Miz!
For a unique wrestling attire for The Miz. You know, used to you had to go through the territories, you had to earn your way here. Now you appear on a reality show. If we could get Eddie Nicole Smith, quit screwing senior citizens and eating cookies and taking pills. How about we book her next in a match? That's that. I like that. Oh, you do? But what is he doing? I like the strut. The stripe?
That looks like a sleaze stack.
I said the stripe.
He looks like the Red Rooster, and that little stooge sucked.
Tonight, all of you, my misfits, get to witness the greatest debut in the history of SmackDown! Because it's time for The Miz's first match! Hoorah!
Hoorah!
Yeah, let me hear you! Hoorah! Don't be shy! Hoorah! Hoorah! Hoorah!
Here comes Tatanka!
And from Pembroke, North Carolina, weighing in at 253 pounds, Tatanka!
Get ready to go inside the ropes like you've never been before and watch the most famous and infamous matches in wrestling history along with legends of the squared circle. Welcome to the first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Payoff.
Today's show is going to be awesome. Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. This is Tom Healy, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Jeffrey Ryan. Jeff, I know you have posters in your bedroom of The Miz on both the real world and in the Marine, so you must be excited for today. But first, how the hell are you doing?
Tom, this is the true story of two guys doing a wrestling podcast. And yes, you are correct. Like most people our age, we would be lying if we said we didn't spend some time watching Real World and Road Rules. But unfortunately, it's harder to find a set of all of the Marine posters than you think. But that's okay. Today is all about Tatanka and The Miz. And I'm going to say probably a match that our listeners haven't revisited probably ever. We always have to thank those listeners because last week, our episode focusing on Shane Douglas and the NWA ECW title was just incredible. We think that that was just an absolute home run of a show. I mean, Shane was great. I say it every week too, because I don't want you to miss out on episodes and we can only keep growing with your support. Subscribe, give us 5 stars, spread the word about The Payoff. You can always find The Payoff or on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook. It's at Payoff Pod. We do want to give a big shout out to one of our fans. This is Dennis Gold on Twitter. He's at DennisGold13. As far as we can tell, he is one of the first to rank our matches, and he seems to enjoy doing that. So shout out to Dennis for being a great listener. Tweet at us. We enjoy the interaction, my friend. So Tom, a lot happening, good stuff, and I know you got even more for those tuning in.
Yeah, the Shane episode was awesome. The reception to it was fantastic. So glad you're digging what we're doing here. And yes, Jeff, I am a big Dennis Gold mark. Love the list. Thank you, brother. So as we always say, thanks to all our listeners around the world. We're growing each week and continue to appreciate all the support you're throwing our way. It really makes this possible. The biggest way you can spread the word is on social media, particularly Twitter. You know, those retweets, those likes, they make a huge difference and they get us to be seen by new people. So we really appreciate it. Keep it up. Thank you so much. It makes a huge difference for us. As you all know, we're also on Patreon. If you want more of us, bonus shows, after shows, shows on the current product and much more, check it out by going to payoffpatreon.com. That's payoffpatreon.com. Jeff, we know after last week, we got a lot of new listeners to The Payoff. So quickly explain to everyone how we do things here.
Yeah. So what we do is give you a weekly deep dive into a match every Monday. And we break it down into three parts. We got part one, the build, where we explain the steps and story leading up to the match. You know, maybe a little insight into what was going on in the business and just anything else we think you should know. Part two, the payoff, where we watch the match along with just a legend, superstar, referee, influential coach, just someone who's connected to the match or just wants to talk about the match as much as we do. And then part three, the aftermath. You know, lastly, we talk about what happened after the match, you know, discuss what happened with those involved and how the storyline either wrapped up or just kept going. And of course, we like to go back and share some of what the reviews or write-ups were at the time. And then we always provide our own payoff score too. So this is a fun story, but before we get started, Tom, you know, why don't you walk everyone through just some of the rules that you and I have?
Three simple rules. Number one, no current product talk. Number two, Jeff and I work hard to give you fresh content surrounding a match, not just boring facts. And number three, we have fun. So if you haven't already done so, we highly, highly, highly encourage you to check out the archives. We have Eddie's world title win against Brock, the Ultimate Challenge, Hogan and Warrior, Shane Douglas throwing down that NWA title, and so much more. We are proud of all the episodes that we've done to this point, so make sure to download them and add them to your podcast queue. Jeff, it's time for a new episode. Just like last week, this is a fun one because it's an anniversary. Last week was the 25th anniversary of Shane Douglas throwing down the NWA title belt and starting Extreme Championship Wrestling. We have another anniversary. The Miz debuting 13 years ago. Now, you may look at this and go, what's the big deal about The Miz wrestling Tatanka on a SmackDown? Well, that's the beauty of what we do here at The Payoff. We do a deep dive into what's going on in the business, little known information about the competitors, behind the scenes information, and much more. So it's never just about the match. As you'll hear, Tatanka was an awesome guest with great insight into what The Miz was like the night he debuted on SmackDown. So in addition to this being on the anniversary of his debut, I personally thought this was a great topic to do a deep dive on because you had this relatively scrawny reality TV star running his mouth about how he wanted to become a pro wrestler, and then he becomes a wrestler in the largest promotion in the world. So, Jeff, I really think this is going to be a fun one, and we'll be able to uncover a lot of great stuff that I certainly didn't know, and I'm sure many of our listeners didn't know as well. So why'd you want to do this one?
Yeah, for starters, the timing was great because, like you said, this is the 13th anniversary of The Miz's in-ring debut. So happy anniversary to The Miz. I forget exactly when it was, maybe about 2-3 years ago. I know I was having a back and forth with my brother about The Miz, actually, and I was not a fan, and he has always been a fan. And so he actually turned me into a Miz fan. I'm pretty sure Miz was heel when I finally convinced myself to enjoy him. And after I actually kind of started paying more attention, he was cutting some of the better heel promos of anyone on the roster. So researching this episode, I definitely didn't think he had been around as long as he had. And even if it's been 13 years, he's been training and in the business even longer than that, working his way up a few years prior to that.
Now, did you watch him on The Real World?
I remember bits and pieces of a lot of the episodes, but yes, and I've done some research, of course, since we knew we were going to be talking about The Miz.
All right, so I'll admit it, both at the time of The Real World and some of the stuff that was going on, and even to this day, I think trashy reality TV is ridiculous, and I have no idea how people watch it. Then I have to put things into perspective, which is I've been watching wrestling for 30 years, and I now do a weekly podcast on it. So who the hell am I to judge, Jeff? With that being said, you know, for me and many of our listeners who don't really know about The Real World or specifically The Miz being on it, I know you're going to bring us up to speed. So what do you have for us?
Yeah, just a little quick pre-build, if you will. So Mike Mizanin, his TV debut was as a cast member of the 10th season of MTV's Real World, which debuted in 2001. It was actually based in New York this season. The city always changed every time. And so the title credits, and I'll try and do it a little bit of credit, but it won't be nearly as good. It always opened the same exact way, and it was read by different cast members. And it went something a little like this. This is the true story of seven strangers picked to live in a house and work together and have their lives taped and find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real. The Real World. You're welcome. It was really Big Brother before Big Brother, but they could leave the house. They had jobs. They usually worked together. They had semi-normal lives minus the hundreds of cameras around them. So The Miz dropped out of Miami University of Ohio to join the show. At the time, if I remember right, you had to send in audition tapes. So he was obviously picked, and we will share a clip on Twitter this week, and you can find it easily enough. But The Miz was his wrestling alter ego even back then. As he said, quote, "The Miz is a character I created. He's a wrestling star and he's ready for the big leagues." So, of course, and it'll be in the Twitter clip, you know, he eventually got a small title and, of course, wrestled some of the other housemates for it because, you know, when you have a title, you have to defend it. That's how it should be. So he was not well liked on the show by many of his castmates right out of the gate. I think there were 7 or 8 people on the show or living in the house, but he wasn't well liked. And it was what I'll say was intentional and unintentional comments. The MTV described him as, quote, "a fireball of energy and a chick magnet who is still naive about relationships and has a deep need to be loved." Yikes. Start there. I guess he was 19 years old at the time, so I get it. You could probably say the same about a lot of us then. And, you know, he still had a lot to learn. Doesn't make some of what he said or what he repeated at the time right, but he did ask to be put on a show. So you got to take with the good with the bad. You know, hindsight, you know, retrospect, looking back on it, you know, an interview with MTV, and the show was on MTV in 2014, he said, quote, "I was just telling how my life was and trying to be as open as possible. Then it was more of a learning curve for me for being on the show and being around people that I normally wouldn't hang around because I wasn't subjected to them back home. Sometimes the worst things you can really say teach you a lot about what you can learn. It made me realize where I was at in my life. I'm glad I went through it because it allowed me to open my mind even more and get educated," end quote. So good on The Miz. It springboarded him into wrestling, and we'll get into that history shortly. So nice little pre-build, so you have even a little bit more background on The Miz. And so now let's get to the build.
All right, here we are with the build. As always, let us set the stage for you. It's SmackDown. Now, it was taped on August 28th, 2006, and would air on September 1st, 2006. We're in Reading, Pennsylvania, a hotbed for WWE action. You know, first thing I want to share is what took place on the night other than Tatanka facing The Miz's debut match. So I'm going to quickly run down the card. And I want to do this because this split brand era of WWE, unlike what I think the current era with a ton of talent, it was just rough, man. There wasn't a lot of talent. It was tough filling 2 hours. So on this particular SmackDown, we had Rey Mysterio and Vicky Guerrero in a promo with Chavo Guerrero involved. We had Matt Hardy defeating Greg Helms. Backstage conversation between Teddy Long, Fit Finlay, and Mr. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy going on to defeat Fit Finlay and Bobby Lashley to win the U.S. title. Big Vito wearing a dress, beating William Regal by countout. A backstage segment with Jimmy Yang Wang. An interview with MVP, Brian Kendrick and Paul London defeating the Pitbulls, which was Kid Cash and Jamie Noble, to retain the SmackDown tag titles. And then a contract signing between Teddy Long, King Booker, and Batista. Jeff, you'll never guess this, but someone went through the table when they were signing the contract.
So many great backstage segments, too. My goodness.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was the B show, if you will, back then, and it wasn't great. So, you know, I know this is just a snapshot of what was going on, but the level of stars and talent in 2006 on the B show compared to now is just massive. And keep in mind, at this time, they're doing a bunch of these single-branded pay-per-views. So this SmackDown roster had to carry an entire 3-hour pay-per-view, and they were asking $30, which is 3 months of the WWE Network, which would have, what, 3 or 4 pay-per-views and everything that's ever happened in the history of wrestling. So pay-per-view numbers were down big time at this point, and a lot of it was because of these B-shows. And, you know, it was just brutal, man. So that's what was happening on SmackDown. Now, I want to quickly give you, Jeff, the pay-per-view before this SmackDown took place and the pay-per-view after this SmackDown took place, both of which were SmackDown-only pay-per-views. So I'm going to give you the one before and after that were the B shows, the single-branded pay-per-views, quickly, just to give you a sense of, you know, again, where we are in 2006. So we have Kendrick and London defeating the Pitbulls, Finlay defeating William Regal, Greg Helms defeating Matt Hardy, Undertaker defeating Big Show in a Punjabi prison match, a fatal four-way bra and panties match, Mr. Kennedy defeating Batista by DQ, and then Booker defeating Rey Mysterio. So that was Great American Bash 2006. Just brutal. Now, the real question, Jeff, is was that single-branded pay-per-view better or worse than the next one that I'm going to read you, which would have been No Mercy 2006? Matt Hardy beating Greg Helms. Kendrick in London defeating Casey James and Idol Stevens, who we know better as Damian Sandow, which I guess has a connection to The Miz. Good tag team. MVP defeating Marty Garner. That must have been a good match. Kennedy defeating The Undertaker by DQ. 20 minutes of that one. Rey Mysterio defeating Chavo Guerrero. Benoit defeating Regal. And then Booker defeating Lashley, Batista, and Finlay. So, Jeff, if you had to pay $30 of your hard-earned money right now for one of those pay-per-views, which one would it be?
Boy, Mr. Kennedy defeating The Undertaker in a 20-minute match. That alone right there is worth $30. My goodness.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. So a couple things going on in the business. Kurt Angle is on his way out at WWE. Now, remember, personal issues, drug, alcohol stuff. I mean, he's gone into depth on it, but he's gone. And they said, go get better. He ended up going to work for TNA and not solving some of those problems. So everyone wished him well. WWE.com, Jim Ross, and then Kurt Angle posted something nice just saying he wanted to come back at some point. So around this time, we had a 60-minute draw between Nigel McGuinness and Bryan Danielson in front of 500 people. That's kind of fun. Vince McMahon defeated Triple H, headlining Madison Square Garden Raw. So that must have been a fun match. A little bit of interference there. And RVD and Sabu had faced their court date. Now, remember, that's when they got arrested while driving not long after One Night Stand. So RVD's your WWE champion and got pulled over, had to drop the belt. And that's a shame. I would have liked to have seen him have a run. But they had their court date around this time. So, Jeff, that's what's going on. Every week you give us a good idea as what was happening from a storyline standpoint. So what do you have for us?
That's a good stuff, man. My goodness. I have Bryan Danielson and Ring of Honor. Forgot about that. That's always good. So yes, I will start with The Miz. And about a year or two after The Real World, The Miz was actually training with Ultimate Pro Wrestling, the UPW, which was actually a topic of discussion previously with Rick Bassman on an episode of The Payoff. The Miz was a part of the Ultimate University, which he joined in 2003. The connection, and we'll have to confirm this actually with Rick next time we talk to him, is that Rick knew one of the producers of The Real World, which is how The Miz got in the door. So we will do our research and reporting and get back to you on that one. But The Miz was actually there with another up-and-coming wrestler, just a young guy. I'm sure many of our listeners have heard of him, but one Jonathan Cena. And so during their time hit the trumpets every time. So The Miz actually got a pretty big endorsement from Diamond Dallas Page, DDP. He was actually helping out Ultimate Pro Wrestling a little bit at that time, doing some matches, just some of the smaller shows that they do. And DDP actually needed a tag partner, and he asked for The Miz.
DDP, so, otherwise known as your yoga instructor.
That is. He does. I'm on week six, so good for DDP. So The Miz was at UPW until October of 2004, when he became a competitor on Tough Enough. This was actually the same season as the famous, infamous Daniel Puter incident with Kurt Angle, where he, to Kurt's unexpected, put Kurt in the Kimura lock. So I did go back and watch. You don't ever really see any of the Tough Enough competitors react, because I was hoping to see The Miz or at least somebody kind of react to like the what was happening in the ring and that it shouldn't have been. But the camera never cut to them, unfortunately. So 2004 through 2006, The Miz actually spent some time in Deep South Wrestling and Ohio Valley Wrestling. And eventually, March 7th, 2006, he made his on-screen debut in a video package. So Miz was actually supposed to debut with another Tough Enough competitor named Matt Capitelli, who actually passed away last year. The tag team never moved forward to the main roster because Matt was actually diagnosed with a brain tumor, and so, which is unfortunate. But because of that, then, you know, Miz still going solo. He did a few backstage segments. He actually tried to debut, but he was barred from the arena because why not? He hosted a bikini contest with Ashley Massaro, because, you know, 2006 WWE, why not? And finally, September 1st, 2006 is when we got the not yet A-lister, but The Miz making his in-ring debut against Tatanka. So, Tom, I'm sure you're asking, well, what about our guest Tatanka? And I have an answer. Tatanka to this point had a very long and successful career. He debuted in WWF on February 1st, 1992, defeating Pat Tanaka. He had a long run of being undefeated for 2 years in the early 90s, which we will discuss on a future episode. But his first feud, or one of his first feuds, was with Rick Martel. And in one storyline that you probably could not do nowadays, Martel stole a sacred eagle feather from Tatanka to add it to his wardrobe. And so Tatanka did eventually beat Martel to reclaim the feather. There you go. So fast forward quite a bit. Tatanka was just coming back to WWE full-time after taking a few years off. He tagged a little bit with Matt Hardy, but really wasn't any in-depth storylines at this point. And that is when him and The Miz ended up getting together in the ring. So, Tom, not a lot else with this build. Wasn't a real long one, but what else do you have?
I think he covered it all. You know, the build to this one is really all about The Miz prior to becoming a WWE superstar. So he did a great job of filling us in. So with that, here we go. Each week we give you a timestamp if you'd like to watch the match along with our special guest or go back and watch it later. Again, this is the September 1st, 2006 episode of SmackDown, and we begin watching it at the 23 mark of the episode. So if you want to watch it now or watch it later, 23-minute mark of the 9106 episode of SmackDown. So here we go. It's time for the payoff.
All right, we are here with Tatanka, and we are about to watch the debut of a young kid called The Miz. Tatanka, welcome to The Payoff.
Thank you very much, Tom. Really appreciate being back here on The Payoff as I'm watching The Miz debut against the Native American Tatanka. Now, I know all you fans out there, maybe you haven't went back to this time, 2006, but The Miz is a mega, mega superstar for WWE. But guess who he debuted with? The Native American Tatanka.
All right, so walk us through, you know, this day. How did you meet The Miz? What was your impression of him when you met him?
Well, The Miz came from, as you know, reality TV, okay? He had a big following. As you know, WWE today is a company that likes to do all that cross promotion. They like to reach into other fields and bring that fan base in. The Miz had that fan base. He wasn't someone that was, you know, wrestling for many, many years to get in the business. He was more reality. He has that look too. Of course, as you know, you're looking at him right now. He has that look, okay? And now today, we see how far The Miz has went. They've done some tremendous things with him. You know, he's involved in everything with the WWE, not only with wrestling, but also WWE films too.
And so tell us, you know, that day, are you leading the match? Are you telling him what's going to happen? Were there a bunch of producers involved by this time in 2006? You know, how did this all get mapped out?
Well, you definitely, today's wrestling, as we had spoke on one of your earlier episodes, today's wrestling, the WWE, yes, there's a lot more people involved as far as creative. There's a lot more agents also involved with matches. But again, if you've been there for a long period of time and they're very comfortable with you being in the ring and knowing what to do, they're not going to ask you and look for every single detail. But again, in our industry, the most important thing is how we finish, okay? Yeah, they also want to make sure that everyone is portrayed properly, okay? Which, again, both of us were portrayed very, very strong. But, again, they had high hopes for The Miz. Anytime they're going to debut someone, okay, that means they want to do something with them. So whoever they put him with is very, very important. Most people don't understand it. It's kind of like an honor to be put with someone because they're expecting that your talent, your name, your skill, everything else is going to help them get that launch that they're looking for.
Oh, yeah. No, you think about that. I even think about, like, Goldberg. They put him against Bill DeMott, and they're like, you know, we need someone in there that's a pro's pro that can, you know, handle him on live TV, make sure he gets through the match. So it certainly is an honor that they, you know, trusted you as a veteran to be in there. And the success that The Miz has had, has it surprised you, or did you think, yeah, you know what, over time, this kid could be a big star?
Well, he was the biggest thing in entertainment, the biggest thing at WWE. Don't forget, you're wrestling in front of today 20,000 plus more people in an arena. If you're on Raw, millions are watching. If you're at a pay-per-view, millions are watching. So again, what you have to do is be very comfortable. And what was so tremendous about The Miz, he was very comfortable. That helps to be a great superstar. That helps for you to go places. You see him? He's being creative right now, okay? He's playing in the ring. He's doing the kind of things, the facial expressions, everything that you need to have in this business, he already was bringing it on day one. So I'm not surprised by The Miz going to where he's at today, meaning climb the heights of WWE, has his own Miz show, has everything, has reality shows, been on WWE films. Obviously, they liked him. They brought him in, gave him a big push for his debut, and they've been pushing him. You know, I mean, look how many titles he's won and everything he's done. See, he's playing the game right now. War dancing, but he's going to pay a price for that here very shortly.
So the
Ow!
No, that's a good Shay. Well, welcome to the big leagues, kid.
You got it.
Hey, so those facials he's doing and some of those things, that's pretty impressive for someone that's brand new to the business, right? Those are the types of things that sometimes take guys years to pick up or never pick up, correct?
Exactly. And what you got to understand, that's the reason why they like The Miz. See that facial expression right there? Vince McMahon is, again, look at the company that we have. Look at what we do. It's TV. So everything is facial expressions. If you can't give those facial expressions, Vince will look at you and he'll do like this square box with his hands. He means, give me that TV shot. Give me that look that I'm looking for. It's very important. You cannot be with no facial expressions. You can't say, even The Miz is fighting here. Facial expressions is very important in our business. The Miz already had it at the very beginning.
Is there anyone on the current roster you look at and you're like, you know what, I'd like to get in the ring with them. We could make some money together.
There's some great stars there. Of course, you know, guys for generations of wrestling experience, you know, like Randy Orton. I'd love to get in there with a guy who, again, loved myself and loved Shawn Michaels even more. Dolph Ziggler, he started the business because of both of us. Again, a great technician. Would love to get in there with him. Of course, if you've never wrestled The Rock, yes, it would be awesome to get in there. It's because of the charisma. When you get in there, it's just not the name. It's being able to connect with that, and both of you tell a story. It's great when you have two people showing everything, because then you can create that magic that you never see anymore. You know, you don't see it. There's just special magic that was created back in World Wrestling Federation. And even here, look at The Miz selling. Look at me nailing him with chops. I mean, it looks like we're really fighting, and we are. He's in a fight for his life because it's all real with me out there. I'm going to lay a chop in on you.
this is a great, great fast-paced match.
Yes, so it is.
So this stretch here, this like 2005, 6, 7, 8, this era, how did you end up back in the big leagues?
Well, what happened was, again, they had a special show, Monday Night Raw, at Mohegan Sun. And if you remember, Kurt Angle and Eugene had the Eugene gold medal invitational match, okay? Well, they would always bring a local hometown hero, where they were at the Mohegan Sun, which is sovereign Native American lands. So guess what? No perfect person to surprise the fans with other than the Native America Tatanka. So I came back for that one appearance, but because of the way the fans responded and because of how everything happened, they went, my gosh, this is not just going to be a one appearance. We want to go ahead and talk to you about a new contract. So again, the tremendous fans from my era and the new WWE Universe fans, they just appreciated me so much. They showed so much support. It turned in from a one appearance to an actual WWE SmackDown contract.
All right, so here comes the finish here. And I guess the gimmick at the time was that the refs were screwing you. And so you get the eye rake, and then he's going to go ahead and use the ropes here for the 1-2-3. So you guys would, you know, have another match or two and continue this. As you look back at your career, what are you most proud of? What was your favorite or best moment?
When I look, okay, I mean, you just made me realize again, what a tremendous match with me and The Miz.
No, it was a great debut match, and you know, he's the you know, chicken little heel there, so it was great. It was a great way to build him. It kept you strong. You guys had a fantastic match.
And, you know, we don't sit around and watch ourselves, especially if you're a humble guy. I'm a humble guy. You know, you don't sit around and watch yourself and talk about yourself. But what a tremendous match between me and The Miz. I just looked at it. What a debut between both of us. But what I really appreciate, most important, is not only having a 2-year undefeated streak, okay, you know, having some great matches at WrestleMania, you know, debuting someone like The Miz, who is a mega superstar today, working with all the great superstars, but it's always great when the company itself, which is WWE, honors what you did, and they call you one of their official WWE legends. And if anyone knows anything about the Legends contract, usually that ends up being turning into the Hall of Fame.
We're hoping. And I'm assuming that if you got the call for the Hall of Fame, you'd be honored and would be there getting inducted?
Of course, I'm Native American, so it'd be a great honor, just not only for me, but I represent a whole nation of people, the Native American nations, First Nations, and all indigenous people.
So I got a question for you, you know, kind of tying in with that. You've said in past interviews that, you know, people have come up to you at signings and appearances that you've done and, you know, within your community have really been affected by you and really seen you as a role model. Tell the fans a little bit about that, because I think it's really important and really a big part of, you know, the effect you've had as a performer.
Well, you know, when you're running the road like we were my first 6 years on the road, 300 days a year, and plus, don't forget, there was not social media then, 90s, okay? There was not social media. It's a total different world today because of social media, and I'm heavily plugged in, have a huge following through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those places which you can find me. All those social media accounts at nativetatanka.com. But what is tremendous is we have been able to speak directly to the WWE universe because of social media. And what's really shocked me the most is, you know, the Native Americans themselves. Most people don't understand, you know, they see some of the Native tribes with casinos, but they don't understand that the Native American nations in the United States and First Nations in Canada, all the indigenous people of my race, you know, the majority of them are starving. The majority of them are doing terrible. We lead every high risk category. You don't want to be leading those categories. So I cannot tell you how many times that I've heard, Tatanka, it was not Hulk Hogan for us. It was not The Rock for us. Okay. It was you, Tatanka, because you're a Native American, a true Native, an official member of the tribe. I can't tell you how many times there were Natives that were going to commit suicide. And because they turned their TV on, because they seen a Native American that had made it off of a reserve or made it and been successful in today's world, they said, I can do it too. I can't tell you how many people have went back, Natives, and got their degrees and finished their education. People who have mended their families because I'm Native American. I can't tell you how many, just not only the Native American, but how many of the WWE universe has contacted me, and I speak to them. Not every wrestler does this, but I believe when you have a platform like what we have, that you can do good with that platform by being encouraging, by speaking good things, by telling other people you can do this, letting other people know, hey, no one's perfect. We make mistakes, but if you work hard, if you believe in your dreams, if you work hard and continue fighting, continue climbing, you can win. You can be successful. You can fulfill your dreams. So I've been doing that for years, not only in World Wrestling Federation, taking my time to meet that child, taking my time to meet that handicapped person. All of that has came back to me today. So I'm very, very honored because I hear the stories daily. And I mean daily. And I don't mean one story, daily. Sometimes I sit down and when I see them, they're so deep, I literally break down and cry. Because, you know, when you realize what you've done, you go, wow, you know, yes, I was a professional wrestler, but man, look at what people were really doing. I can't tell you how many fans, as I end with this, it's made me very thankful that so many people were going through tough times in their life. But professional wrestling, the WWE, really helped people get through the struggles. It was their vent. It was their fun time. It was their time to continue fighting, to watch something, to get them out of reality. So I'm very, very honored to not only play that part in people's life, but very honored to continue doing that on a daily, ongoing basis and into the future.
Well, and this may tie in with that, but how do you want to be remembered by the fans?
Well, I want to be remembered exactly how I am. Everyone says it all the time. You can go on any of my social media feeds. You can look at just this previous weekend where I was at. People go, this is the great, one of the nicest wrestlers I've ever met. He is so humble. He made me feel so special. That's how you want to be remembered. It, you know, you got a lot of superstars, but, you know, if your life is me, myself, and I, you've lost. Yeah. In your eyes, you might have think you won. You didn't win. Because our life's supposed to be that after we get, especially when we're honored and blessed to be at the levels that we're at today, meaning all the WWE superstars, use that platform to encourage others. Use that platform to speak things, to help change things out there. You know, there's a lot of great guys doing that today. You know, Titus O'Neil at the WWE, he's constantly out there doing great things. Stephanie McMahon, she's the one who's out there putting all these charitable events together, you know, Connor's Cure, all the great things, because we have a tremendous platform. So again, if you're not remembered for giving back, if you're not remembered for helping someone else, if you're not remembered for reaching down and pulling someone else up, it doesn't mean you have to give financially. I've done that too. But what I mean by that is giving of yourself, whatever that is, your time, your wisdom, your knowledge, your help, whatever that is. If you're just concentrating on yourself, you've lost. So I want to be remembered that way, which I am remembered that way already.
And fans that want to get in touch with you or just keep up with what you're doing, where can they find you on social media? You said at Native Tatanka, is that right?
Yep, it's at nativetatanka.com. So that's my official website, nativetatanka.com. And most of all my social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, is the call handle Native Tatanka. So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, last thing I have for you, and obviously you're very active on social media, so go check him out. And if he's doing an appearance, go up and say hi, because, you know, as you can tell, very, very friendly guy and has a lot of great stuff to share. The last thing I wanted to ask you, just going back to this match, is when you run into The Miz backstage or you see him on TV, do you take a little extra pride knowing that you played a small part, you know, him getting off to a quick start and becoming a megastar?
Exactly. Exactly. Let me tell you why. Let's get to the reality everything. Here you are debuting someone. How about if I went out there and just had a terrible match? How about if I was off that day? How about if I didn't want to work hard or
just didn't want to put him over?
Or just didn't want to put him over. How would that have worked for The Miz? Would he? Yeah, WWE is powerful that they can do almost anything. But again, when you're debuting someone, the best way to debut them is give them that perfect, strong, out-of-the-hole match. And that's what The Miz got with me. So do I appreciate, do I look back and go, yes, I played that small part? Of course I do. And I'm very thankful that I did.
That's awesome. Well, this was fun to watch. And thanks for being on the show, sharing some stuff about The Miz's debut and, you know, just giving us some really interesting insight and stories. We appreciate it.
It's tremendous. It's always a pleasure to be on The Payoff.
As always, Tatanka was great for talking with us, and we appreciate him joining us. He has such a long history in WWE, most recently in 2016 at the WrestleMania 32 Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So it was super cool to hear from him, and great that he's even still out there doing his thing. He's just one of those ones where I will admit I forgot his career dates back to the early 90s, and such an awesome thing back then being undefeated at the beginning of his career. So again, thanks to him for joining us. Tom, what are your thoughts on The Payoff?
Yeah, first of all, you know, I was at WrestleMania 22. I'm walking to my seats. I'm trying not to spill my beer. And I look in the ring. I'm like, is that Tatanka? I was a little confused. I thought that was pretty cool. I'm a big Tatanka fan. I thought, you know, as a guest today, fantastic. Tons of energy, covered a lot of great information, and really looking forward to having him back on again. Jeff, I think in general, we've been so fortunate to not only have some great guests, but they've all just brought it. You know, they've just given us really good information and given great stuff to our listeners. And I know we certainly appreciate it. So make sure to always tag our guests in your tweets each week and let them know you appreciate them sharing all this great stuff on The Payoff. We want to make sure they come back on and give you more insight in the future. Now, the topic of the Hall of Fame came up. To me, Tatanka should be in the Hall of Fame. If you aren't familiar with his career, also everything he's done outside the ring, go poke around the internet a little bit. You know, he should be in there, and I hope he gets the call because he was a trailblazer, and I'd love him to get recognition sooner rather than later. I also found it interesting when Tatanka talked about Miz's facial reactions. Obviously, The Miz was very green at this time and certainly in the wrestling ring, but the dude was made to be on TV and really got the entertainment aspects of the business from day one. Also, are we ever going to see another debut where we hadn't really seen someone wrestle before? You know, nowadays it's like you've seen him wrestle elsewhere, whether it's on the internet or at an indie or on NXT. So, like, what are the odds that, like, truly there's going to be a debut match of a new performer that you haven't seen before? So I thought that was kind of cool. The commentary was hard to follow. JBL was literally making fun of both guys at various times. It really made no sense and was honestly just annoying. I think some of it was even racist, but I didn't even get the jokes. Miz winning by cheating his debut match, you know, part of me thought he should have won convincingly with like an actual finishing move. But then part of me is like, it's fitting, you know? The guy didn't need to look strong. He needed to win by cheating, and it made him a better heel. So, Jeff, what'd you think?
Yeah, I love me some SmackDown Fist. It's the first time we've seen it here on The Payoff, and hopefully it makes a return in the near future in real life, because if the rumors are to be believed, we may very well. So The Miz's entrance was just, to me, it was super goofy. He was so over-exaggerated, and I get it. It's his debut, but it was also so unpolished. And we'll get to that a little bit more when we kind of go over the reviews. But I would never want to be on the receiving end of a Tatanka chop. We've watched a bunch of his matches in preparation for this. But every single one that we watch, it's just brutal. So no thank you. And like you said, Tom, The Miz got, you know, his legs up on the ropes at the end. But again, he was definitely really green. He was definitely a little late getting his legs up on the rope. But to his credit, he's come a hell of a long way. So any other final thoughts, Tom?
Yeah, I think like, you know, with like Ric Flair, it's a good chop, but it's kind of like a working chop. Tatanka, those are like shoot chops. Those are really good chops. Well, obviously, I think we covered this one more for the history of The Miz debuting than because it was a 20-minute mat classic. But in all fairness, it was what it was. So Jeff, walk everyone through the aftermath of this story.
Yeah, the story of Tatanka and Miz is actually over pretty quick. Miz won a rematch, and the two went their separate ways, but still lots to talk about with both of their careers. The Miz, actually some shades of Tatanka, he went undefeated for 3 months. He beat a great list of superstars that included Matt Hardy, one of my favorite commentators, Funaki, now commentators, Funaki, and Scotty Too Hotty. And of all the people to end the Miz's mini streak, and even I couldn't believe this when I read it, it was the Boogeyman at Armageddon 2006. So good on the Boogeyman. Some highlights, you know, really from the Miz's career since his debut, though. In 2007, he entered the Royal Rumble from number 29, but he was immediately thrown out by the great Khali, and he lasted only 7 seconds. So going for that record, and so quick 7 seconds for him. He was voted at Cyber Sunday to face CM Punk for the ECW Championship, but lost the match. Really need to bring back Cyber Sunday. It's especially nowadays, that would be fantastic. And then moving on August 10th, 2009, that is when he debuted the skull-crushing finale. And then he also cut a promo after where he said, because I'm the Miz and I'm awesome. So 10 years, the skull-crushing finale and being awesome. Good on him. Of course, he was the Money in the Bank winner in 2010. And then a career highlight, I'm sure for him, and one of his, you know, great accomplishments, he was the main event of WrestleMania 27, where he successfully defended the WWE Championship against a name we've already said, fellow UPW graduate, John Cena. And this was following some interference from The Rock. And so, Tom, you were there, right?
I was. And, you know, I think people are like, well, why was The Miz in the main event of WrestleMania? Dude, let me tell you something. That match wasn't about The Miz. It wasn't about your boy, John Cena. It was all about The Rock. And the place went electric for him. Miz gets the surprise win. The Rock ends up, you know, delivering some rock bottoms. And, of course, the next night on Raw, we got that great promo with Rock and Cena that cemented the main event for WrestleMania a year in advance, which I really dug. I thought that was a cool concept. So, yeah, it was fun seeing The Miz in the main event. I had no issue with it. I thought the guy was great then, still great now. He's different, and he's a great heel, and he served his purpose in that match.
Of course, a couple of little things. I have to mention, we actually just missed another anniversary. The incredible Talking Smack promo with Daniel Bryan was August 23rd, 2016. So 3 years ago. It does not feel like 3 years ago, but it was. We will make sure to definitely share that one throughout this week because that is just so good. Of course, he married his former in-ring manager, Maurice, in 2014. Tom, you sent me a link, and actually the happy couple actually just bought a $6.4 million house in California. So kudos to them. I wonder if Conrad helped, but you never know. And finally, we can't forget he has starred in not only one, not two, not three, but four of the cinematic classic, The Marine films. And I will say the most recent one, not bad. It's got Shawn Michaels and The Man. Tom, do you have a favorite Marine movie?
All of them.
All of them. You would, but that's okay. And so, you know, we could go on, but it's not hard to say, you know, The Miz hasn't had just a phenomenal career since that time and being a part of the WWE. So, of course, Tom, we don't want to overlook our guest, Tatanka. Like we said, he lost this match and then a rematch to The Miz as well. He kept wrestling, but I will say, in my opinion, he had some bad storylines he got booked into. You know, not his fault, but just how the booking was happening. He turned heel in October of 2006, so shortly after this. And he and tag team partner Bobby Lashley actually lost the match to William Regal and Dave Taylor when William Regal pinned Tatanka using the ropes as leverage. And so Tatanka needs to plan better. It keeps happening to him, people using the ropes against him. So hopefully next time he's ready for it. It wasn't that long after that that he actually asked to be released in January of 2007. He had been on a losing streak, which, you know, compared to how he started his career, you know, a little sad, but he avenged those losses by defeating Jimmy Wang Yang. And Tatanka is, you know, a lot of wrestling fans like the joke. He was not future endeavored. And the WWE said, quote, "Tatanka is an accomplished veteran of the squared circle. The Native American made a splash upon his entrance to the WWE in the early 90s, remaining undefeated for 2 years.
Before he jobbed in a meaningless match on a Saturday TV show against Ludwig Borga."
Well, he said, to his credit, that, you know, he requested to be released and mentioned that he wasn't going to be done. And like we said, he came back for the Andre the Giant, you know, Memorial Battle Royal. And, you know, he made some appearances over the years before that. So it sucks how his defeat for both of his streaks one way or the other ended, but, you know, still highly accomplished. So good on him. So successes from both men. You know, The Miz, definitely a ton after this match. It's been his career. Tatanka, prior to this, you know, undefeated, just fantastic. So anything I missed?
No, not really. Just a couple quick things to add. You know, I think you've heard it a couple times already, but big Tatanka fan, bold colors, different look, cool music, really good in the ring. I know this match was at the tail end of his career, but I look forward to having him on a future episode to talk about some of his best matches. One that sticks out for me was WrestleMania 9 when he opened the show against Shawn Michaels. That was a terrific match. We're going to cover this more on a future episode with Tatanka, but it was a damn shame he lost his 2-year winning streak. to Ludwig Borga. It's up there on those things that really piss me off about wrestling. You know, with that, that's one. We've talked about not doing Flair and Hogan at WrestleMania 8. You'll hear some other ones that'll come out over the following months, I'm sure. I remember as a kid thinking it was so stupid, made no sense. And looking back, I still can't understand how you end that big two-year streak just on regular TV. I know they had big plans for Borga, but obviously it didn't work out. Keep in mind, that's a longer streak than Goldberg. So the real question is, which streak ender was worse? Tatanka losing to Ludwig Borga or Goldberg losing to Kevin Nash because of a damn taser? Tough question. Maybe we'll do a poll this week for our listeners, Jeff. Also, we took a peek at the PWI 500 for 2006. Tatanka would finish the year at 258, one spot ahead of the Boogeyman, while The Miz would finish at 174, one spot ahead of Tommy Dreamer, and two spots ahead of Rory McAllister. Jeff, any memories of Rory McAllister you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'm more impressed we've managed to bring up the Boogeyman twice in one episode. Like, good on us.
Hey, we don't call it a deep dive for nothing, my friend. So
we'll have to reach out to him. Absolutely.
So. Truer words have never been said. Yeah, we got to get some of these guys on some bonus shows. All right, that's all I have. How was the match received in the newsletters, Jeff?
Yeah, this could be some of the craziest ones we've read. So I'll start with, of course, our favorite star giver, Dave Meltzer. Quote, Miz has shitty hair and a wacky strut, which made me think of what JBL then said. He's the, swear word, everybody, he's the fucking Red Rooster. He then complained about guys who don't go through the territory system anymore. Miz celebrated an arm drag, mocked Tatanka, and played to the crowd. It seemed to me they are already anticipating the full heel Miz when he starts getting that, hoorah, we got it, now please get the fuck out of here, heat. Harsh words. So Tatanka's impending turn was stoked again as the Miz pushed the ref into him, allowing him to score a backslide with his feet on the ropes. Just remember your equation of the day, kids. Miz is greater than Daniel Pewter, end quote. So a small piece from Pro Wrestling Torch that I enjoyed, it said, quote, the other highlight of SmackDown was hearing JBL bury the entire Tatanka-Miz matchup and then burying the shovel. Michael Cole even chimed in with a subtle shot by adding, quote, Tatanka is not a good first opponent for the Miz here on SmackDown. Pretty brutal, if you ask me. A little cliche, but you know, no punches pulled. But at the same time, pretty accurate, Tom.
Well, here's the thing. Like, and I'm not saying that I would have felt differently if I was watching this and writing a newsletter, but clearly no one thought this guy was going to be what he became, right? No one said, hey, he's a great heel and, you know, let's see what happens. I mean, it was kind of like a joke, right? So it's just interesting that no one had any idea what this guy was about to do. And I think for years, people doubted him. So, man, I love seeing him be successful. So part of me says yes. You know, The Miz was green. He hadn't worked a ton. He didn't have the biggest build, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I understand where the sheets are coming from. But, Jeff, then I watch this match, and you can tell The Miz has a ton of charisma, and he's this legitimate, true chicken shit heels heel. And I love that. So I have to be honest, and this has nothing to do with the success he has experienced in the 13 years since, but The Miz had a boatload of charisma from day one, and it's apparent here. I thought this was far better than the snarky coverage it got, and it was something different. He was acting like a fantastic heel. Obviously, he had the charisma and mic skills, so it's a solid debut, and it wasn't like they brought the guy in with a Brock Lesnar push. He started lower on the card and was given an opportunity, which he obviously took full advantage of. And, you know, it's interesting because we obviously remember the Brock Lesnars of the world and the Randy Ortons of the world. They come in as major stars, right? And they've never really left the main event ever since they debuted. But then you have a guy like The Miz and maybe even someone like a Kofi Kingston where, man, a lot of good and a lot of bad happened over a long period of time before they finally got that opportunity and that break. And both guys are still fighting to prove themselves. So, Jeff, it's payoff score time.
Yeah, just quick reminder for our listeners, we give a payoff score every week. You know, we don't rank the match just on what's going on in the ring, but we look at everything and give it a 1 through 10. The build, the crowd, the commentary, the aftermath, how it falls into other things going on at the time. We look at all of it. there's no specific formula, just the two of us talking about it and, you know, coming up with a score. So Tom and I don't discuss these ahead of time. You know, we leave that part of our notes blank. I was trying to go back and forth. I lost track. So I'm going to kick us off this time. I'm going to give this just a 5. It's not good. It's not bad. It was fine. I have no reason to give it any more or less than that. It was fun for its moment in time. And I mean, it was a debut. So I can't really, you know, come down on a debut. It was cool looking at what The Miz has accomplished. And then Tatanka, you hear it a lot of times, he really did the legends right and helped out putting a guy over on his back. And so good on him. And even if it was just for a few matches, awesome to know that that's what he was there to help for that. And so commentary obviously loved to just shit all over this one, and probably rightfully so for some reasons. But, you know, just a 5 for me. It was, like you kind of said earlier, it's what it was. And so it served its purpose. Tom, what do you got?
I've got this at a 3.5. You know, it certainly wasn't bad, but there was nothing memorable about it. Looking at that roster, I have no idea who you would have paired him with, but he went on to beat Matt Hardy, so maybe that would have been a better match and a bigger name in 2006. So my 3.5 doesn't mean I hated it. It just means it wasn't that great. Ultimately, Miz won the match, did it acting like a true heel, and he was off and running. Not terrible, not memorable, not great, so 3.5. Now, my final thoughts as we head into the finish here. As far as Tatanka goes, fantastic guest, great information overall. I just feel like he's an underrated performer. I think a big reason why is much of his prime was during that tough stretch. You remember, Jeff, when 92, 93, 94, it was just not that great. So I think he kind of gets forgotten because of that. But dude, Tatanka was an awesome worker, had a great look, and we really appreciated his perspective on this historic debut of The Miz. And definitely look forward to doing a deep dive into his career on a future episode. However, the star of the evening was The Miz. So let's talk Miz. Jeff, I'm going to say something that may come across like an insult to The Miz, but it's actually a massive compliment. I honestly think in the history of the business, The Miz might be the biggest overachiever ever. You know, he played some high school sports, but he wasn't an All-American college wrestler. He isn't 6'6". He doesn't have 300 pounds of muscle. There was no reason for him to be successful with this whole wrestling thing, except for one thing. He wanted it as much or more than anyone ever has. He busted his ass to get bigger, better, and badder. And it didn't happen overnight. Had many low points that sure we'll cover on future episodes, but ultimately the guy persevered and is now a megastar. So this was a really fun episode to look at how it all got started for him in the WWE and get to hear from the man who shared the ring with him that night. So with that, Jeff, got all my shit in. Take us home on this week's episode.
Yeah, we got to thank Tatanka again. He is all over social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. He can be found. He is at Native Tatanka. And so I got to plug The Miz too. He is at Mike The Miz. And of course, don't miss him because I love the show. Miz and Misses every Tuesday, 10 p.m. following SmackDown on USA Network. It's actually pretty good. If you haven't checked it out, it's worth it. And so definitely check it out. I will always remind our listeners as we close the show, subscribe in your favorite podcast platform. Give us 5 stars no matter where you listen. Spread the word about The Payoff through social media, word of mouth, whenever you're talking to someone. You can always find both Tom and me and The Payoff on Twitter and Instagram throughout the week. It's at Payoff Pod. We're on Facebook as well. You know, Tom, I'm going to set you up here, but do you have a awesome finish for us?
I have the same one I do every week. I don't know if it's awesome or not, but here it goes. Thank you for joining us on The Payoff.